Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to interrupt your rally. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We've done it. It's been a long winter, but we are officially back. Mighty Ducks Game Changers Season 2, Episode 1, premiered a few hours ago as we record this. Well, I guess, you know, 8-ish hours ago, if you want to go by 2 a.m. our time, but wherever you are. We got a lot to talk about. Episode 1 reviews. Let's not spend a lot of time with Kevin's poor investment. And I will just say, you know, working on some stuff. We might have some bonus episodes and whatnot, but we'll obviously have the reviews every week of the episodes and then add on bonus episodes as they come. But let's get into it. Episode 1.
I got notes.
Kevin took notes. He's prepared. I took notes as well. Tommy, did you take notes? Oh, Tommy has notes as well.
Tommy took more notes than I did, it looks like.
This is actually work-related notes, but I just wanted to see everyone's face when I showed it because I knew you couldn't read it.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, how many times have you watched this?
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin with the handwritten notes. Impressive. I used my computer.
So for the first time, I actually like watched the episode on my phone. Usually I'm sitting at a computer screen when I do it. And so
yeah, was it while you're on the toilet?
No, I was laying in bed this morning while I watched it. So I didn't have a notepad handy, but I'm going to try to remember. I'm glad that Mike had that one of the good one-liners, cause I thought there was pretty good one-liners in this one. And I think we're going to have some more one-liners, for the intro episodes that, or the intro to the episodes that Mike does. And that's really all we want really is one-liners for our usage.
Yes. So let's start off from the top. So Mighty Ducks Game Changers, Season 2, Episode 1, entitled Icebreaker. You know, they show up to the Epic Camp. A lot of what we saw in the trailer, just your initial impressions, Tommy, of the episode.
Do we want to talk about the opening scene first, or
sure,
are we talking 30,000 foot view?
We can do the opening scene. That's fine.
Okay. So first off, unfortunately, this scene was slightly spoiled for me because I saw someone tweet like something about the opening 2 minutes being great. I was like, okay, that means either like Bombay's dead or we get a cameo right off the bat. And we get the cameo, which was great. So I thought that was a great start. We get not one, but two Bash Brothers.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I was not expecting the Portman. I guess this is a little late, but I should say spoiler alert for anybody. You should probably listen to the episode first before.
It's called Episode 1 review. You know, we're not going to tiptoe around like everything. Come on.
Okay.
That opening scene with Fulton and Portman. I really hope that was just like a small snippet of a cameo, of a longer cameo that was filmed. Mm-hmm. I hope they return at some point. That felt very brief for those two actors, because they're two of the more substantial still in the game actors of the original Ducks. So I hope that they return, and that was just a small piece of what they filmed with those two.
So two thoughts on that. One, I agree. Two, kind of the other side is, because they are bigger name, it's like it's tougher to book them.
That's
but also
true.
I think one of our criticisms of Season 1, and again, this was Season 1 filmed during COVID. You couldn't have like little tiny cameos. Everything was just in one episode. And so I really like having that off the rip, you know, cameo. It wasn't like building all the way up. So that's something that we wanted in season one. We didn't get. We got it right away in season two.
That's true.
And also, like,
Portman, it still was very, very brief, though.
Portman was tough for me to recognize.
Yeah, me too.
It's like Fulton. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I've seen him in Daredevil. Like, I know what he looks like as an adult. Like Portman, I'm like, that's Portman, right? You know,
you knew it was a cameo, but I was like, who is that? I thought it was Mike Vitar for a second. I was like, oh, that's strange. But it took me a little while to, and then it becomes like knock you over the head, obvious, whenever he pulls the bandana out and everything. But it was very brief, but it was fun.
He should have been smoking, had like, it just slammed a beer. Because they had a hell and a damn in this episode, so they're not going full TVG. It's definitely like TVPG. So you can smoke, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah, when they talked about it being condemned in construction, and then they're like, oh, they knew the guy. I was like, oh, Fulton. But the Portman surprise, I thought was a great start to get off the bat. Yeah, it will be interesting to see, because we know more ducks are coming just by the episode names. So it'll be interesting to see how they integrate them and if Aaron Lore / Dean Portman does come back alongside Fulton Reed and whatnot. So interesting. Just your overall, Tommy, just now let's go to the 30,000 foot view early on after that initial start.
30,000 foot view. And I did post this teaser in the Discord. So if you're not subscribed to our Discord, make sure you're part of that. Kevin. quick shout out to Mike for really kind of being the one who keeps that going, of course. But I am optimistic about it. And I was definitely the most pessimistic going into this, is because I think I was afraid that it was gonna be bad and we weren't gonna get any more. Based on, you know, some of the, I guess, behind the scenes things or whatever. And obviously the loss of Bombay, you're like, you're already, you know, down 10 points at that point. But I'm optimistic. I really liked the fact that Cole's kid is terrible, and that the ducks weren't like the last ones on the ice being like the worst ones there. Cause like, I think that would have been the easy one. It's like, oh, you guys are all terrible. You know, I will say that the opening road trip, like 30 seconds in, I was like, I'm struggling with this. I thought everything was missing. And but once they got to camp and we met Coach Cole, I was in. And so like I was like peak with like Fulton and Portman. Very deep valley with the RV trip and our giving a hug to the chicken nugget inventor. And then back up once we get to camp. And so, and I feel good about the season. I also feel like, you know, it can kind of go anywhere. And I guess we'll talk more later about kind of performance review, but I was a big fan of Coob in this episode.
Yes. Kevin, just your overall takeaway, your overall thoughts.
Overall, I agree with Tommy. I thought it was a really good opening episode. The biggest thing that I wrote in my notes was that Josh Duhamel is great. I thought he was fantastic.
Agreed.
I truly think he was like no notes for him. He was great. I agree with Tommy that road trip, it was rocky. It felt like everything was like off cue or something. Like they would cut to them and they're just all in the RV, and then it'd like there would be a beat, and then they like start the conversation. It just felt like disjointed or something. But yeah, I agree. That was kind of I agree that that was the valley of the show, but or of the episode. I'm glad that I think, despite that we're still we're missing some don't bother your ducks from last season. I do think it's going to allow us to get more from the ones that are present. So I like that we got more from Sam. I like that we finally got more from Sam. I thought it was a really good episode. I was a little skeptical about kind of how they were going to handle this, but I thought it was good. I enjoyed it a lot, and I think Josh Duhamel, I think that's really exciting for the show, is that he seems to be perfect for this specific role. That was my overall 30,000 view.
Interesting. Very interesting. I thought I liked Josh Duhamel, but wanted to see a little bit more of where he went, because he's obviously very, you know, intense and super focused and that kind of stuff. I was like, is there going to be more to him? So I thought he was good, but not great. But you guys were all in on him. I like
it. Well, I think it was good, like really kind of setting up the rest of the show. It's like his relationship with his son.
Right.
Like setting that up. And this was like a 21-minute episode.
Yeah. I thought they covered a lot in a very short amount of time and like left you with enough. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, I wonder where this is going to go. And I mean, they kicked his opening monologue, kicked it off, and that was great. And then like him getting interrupted. I thought that was really good.
Yeah. I will say my first thought was, yeah, seeing the episode length, I think the premiere was like 40 something minutes and it was like 29 or 28 or something, including credits and the recap and all that. And I was like, uh-oh, did they just not have a lot to go on? But they did fill the spot well. As Tommy mentioned, Coob really came to play here. Sorry, Kevin, I think you wanted to say something.
Maybe this can wait until we start, you know, breaking it down minute by minute, but I just want to make sure that we cover the, I don't know if you guys watched the recap or not.
I did watch it.
It is painfully obvious how much of Bombay was cut out of that.
I
wrote in my notes, LOL at minimal Bombay in the recap.
Yeah, he had like
really funny. He was only in there in the scenes where they couldn't, you know, cut around.
Right.
It was just painfully obvious, which was disappointing, but I guess I get it. But I mean, it seems like they're trying to like remove him from the history of season one, which sucks. But you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, that was very obvious. I was like, are they gonna, like, I think it would have been like very ballsy to like not have him at all in the recap. That would have been great, honestly, just to like to see them like, you know, fuck it, embrace the anarchy. But I think that was another thing that I didn't like about the very beginning of the episode was Alex being like, we're going to camp. And guess what? I'm going to law school. And guess what? I'm working at the camp.
Right.
It's like, because at first I'm like, you've got a kid to support and a mortgage and a very nice house. Like, but anywho, you know, you always suspend disbelief a bit. And so once we got to camp, I was on board. Although when the first shot of the camp, I was like, this is an enormous campus. Like,
yeah,
how much are these kids in the ship like paying for this? Because they had like signage everywhere, so it wasn't like, oh, we rent out you rent out a college camp or whatever, or college campus for a couple of weeks during the summer usually for these kinds
of
things.
That was like a dedicated campus. Yeah.
It was like a facility.
Do we know where that was filmed?
I do not. There's some, I think one of our trivia contestants said they might have been filming at some UCLA, some stuff at UCLA and stuff like that, but I do not know for sure. Yeah, they did have enormous dorm rooms. That was one of the notes I took. Like,
yeah. Oh, that was nice. Great.
Yeah.
There also was a very strange CGI shot of the arena. That was weird. That seemed very like out of character and out of place, but I guess I get it.
Yeah. That's it. So let's back up a bit. So we talked about Portman. We talked about the RV trip. You know, they did mention Bombay, but they didn't really talk about it. And, like, I guess they just assumed he's busy. How did we feel about that sort of Bombay, keeping the credits part, you know, separate?
I think it was surprising how open they left the door. Theoretically, he can come back in season three is the way that it's framed. It's like, oh, the ice palace can be renovated and he'll be back. Like, I think that was really interesting. I thought it would be a little bit more kind of final than that. But I mean, I'm also curious how much, if any, mention he gets in the rest of the show. Like, because that seemed very, very minimal for what they kind of needed to do. But I was surprised at how open the door is for a return.
Yeah, and so I was like Kevin, I'm surprised at kind of how open that door is, but I'm very appreciative of it. As far as like not mentioning him, it's like, this doesn't make sense. But at the same time, I think for the storytelling, you can't mention him because then you're going to get people's hopes up that he's going to show up later in the season. And for weirdos who do not follow the Diaz Insider, and they don't know that like Bombay was like, they had this whole issue. Like, you kind of have to like, hey, let's not mention Bombay at every turn or whatever. But at the same time, you know, we're still going to have like a glimmer of hope you know, that there's something, some mention of him, or even some weird, you know.
Over under 1.5 mentions of Bombay for the rest of the season.
Including this one mention that happened?
No, not including this one.
Oh, I'm taking the
now on. Under?
I don't think they ever talk about him again.
That's a very good line, Kevin.
I guess it should be half then. Half a mention, over under.
Oh, I'm gonna say for the rest of the show, I'm gonna take over, because I think it's gonna be mentioned in Spirit of the Ducks.
Mm.
Yeah, it'd be hard to avoid that one.
Yeah, but I mean, we could say like episodes. I think maybe that's the only episode where you get it.
Okay.
So you think one time? You think one more mention?
Yeah, I think that's the episode you get it. I'd love to be proven wrong.
What do you take, Kevin? I know you set the line.
The optimist in me wants to hope that he's mentioned in the finale, so that it kind of further leaves that door open. But I'm gonna say over, because I think it'll be at least like another throwaway line. But I don't think it'll be like, it'll be like, what did Bombay tell us or something? Something like that. In like, you know, episode 7 or something. But I think it'll be minimal. But I think it'll be more than one.
Okay, I'll accept that. I still don't think they ever talk about him again. Nick had a great line of thought talking about Portman. I'm trying to be like him when I grow up. Look at him. He does the sort of recap. He obviously has the podcast, which is a good plot device.
But still, he's like, number two.
Yeah, still number two. I was surprised.
We all know number one.
I was surprised. He's just kind of the lead character now, I feel like, in some ways. Like, he is sort of encroaching on Evan's space here.
Well, I think he's the, you know, he's the narrator.
He's the voice, yeah.
Right.
He's the audience. You're watching it through Nick's eyes.
There you go. Great way to put it. So we obviously had a little bit of a time skip, which is, I guess, necessary, depending on how, you know, old these kids got and whatnot. And then, as Tommy mentioned, Alex going to law school, being the dorm counselor. Kevin,
can we before we like move on with plot? Can we talk about the characters themselves, like when we first see them?
Sure.
Because I just had in my notes that Evan had a bit of a glow up. He's got an actual haircut. It feels
right.
Like. So I thought that was good. Coop looks almost exactly the same,
except larger.
I feel like Evan, you can tell, like, grew up a little bit. Coop still just kind of looks the same. Nick, he looks like he's growing up a little bit too. I guess Sam as well. But I thought it was interesting that Nick looked a little bit more polished in that like opening scene, and then you kind of just see it, like he's got like the flowing locks. He's, you know, he's got the kind of the Logan head of lettuce going on, albeit the brunette version, but. But yeah, I thought it was interesting to see, because how long is the time frame between this? It's like in actual years for them. Like,
so they filmed in late 2020, and then, okay, you know, they filmed earlier this year. So about a year and a half. Okay. Yeah,
I think the baby fat is gone,
right?
You know, for all these kids. And honestly, I think Evan is the one that was most noticed. Like, oh, he's older. Like,
yeah. His voice is deeper.
Doesn't have like, you know, little kid cheeks or anything. And so, but it's still good. I still believe that, like, oh, these are kids like who still like want to have fun, but they are kind of like starting with like relationships. So you think of like 13-year-olds, right? You know, 13, 14.
Which is, I guess, if we're assuming this is the summer right after that, which is, you would assume that is right where you want them to be, because they were in the 12 to 14 division last year. So,
and then season 3, you go to Eden Hall, baby.
They did mention the, you know, World Hockey Summer Showcase. So I don't know if that's going to be the end of season 2, or, you know, that's going to be season 3. It's going to be this World Hockey Summer Showcase. It does feel like they're sort of building to selecting a team for that to go on into some World Hockey Summer Showcase. So we'll see. But
maybe they pick Evan and Nick has to go. He's going to really invest into that podcast. And he meets three grizzled veterans to teach him how to be the best podcaster.
I'm in. Take my money.
Yeah.
All right, we're going on off the deep end here. Go ahead, Mike.
He finally meets the number one podcast in southeastern Minnesota, and which is us. I'm assuming it's us. I'm assuming that's a call to us. But
hey, y'all, that's us.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'll get confirmation. But again, taking credit for things we probably shouldn't take credit for. But as Tommy mentioned, going back to sort of the timeline here, Alex covers a lot of ground in her little speech there. Going to law school, she's quitting, she's a dorm counselor now, which the dorm counselor I thought kind of makes sense, but how do we make of her sort of all this transition to sort of fit her into the camp?
It works. I'm not going to say like, oh, this is perfect. You know, it's like, okay, this works. I buy right. it. And it allows her to, you know, to be the female lead. And to, you know, really,
as overbearing mother,
I did like Evan saying like, hey, you said you're gonna give us more space. Why don't you start now?
Yeah, that was good.
That was
good.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt the same way. Like it was kind of clunky, but it worked. So
I'd say my least favorite part. And I do think Alex like grows with the episode is in that RV where I guess they stop to get lunch and they show up late. It's like, what the fuck? You're showing up late for camp.
Yeah, I'd be so pissed off if I was Evan.
Yeah, it's just like now, like stopping for like in and out or whatever. It's like, yeah, you gotta like do that. But it's like, Alex, you're going to be a lawyer. Can we show a little bit of responsibility? And like, you can't show up to court late.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I guess they had to get like, how are we gonna have them make this entrance?
Right. And Alex's whole thing was about summer and like, oh, everything.
Yeah. Summer's supposed to be fun.
Yeah,
I guess I appreciate that kind of tying back to the don't bothers era. But one thing I just briefly wrote this down and I wasn't paying complete attention, but did the route that they took make sense from
interesting.
The only thing I saw was like Omaha and then they were in the mountains, which I guess would be like
the Rockies.
Yeah. It didn't really look like that either. I don't know. It felt for a second that they were driving through Arizona, and I was like, why the hell would they be in Arizona? Like that.
Do
that
we know where this camp is?
I mean,
it's like LA, right?
Yeah, it's in LA. California. Yeah.
So I just Googled, it's a 28-hour drive from Minnesota I just Googled Minnesota to LA, 28 hours. So maybe it's going to be in NorCal or something like that. But if it's only taking her 19 hours, it's like,
she's moving. Got a
fucking lead foot there. But you do go through like Wyoming, Utah, you hit Vegas, obviously, and then Los Angeles.
Maybe they're driving through.
So
Vegas,
what they should have done is like, oh, sorry, I stopped in Vegas for so long, kids. That's why we're going to be late to camp.
Yeah, that would have been a good good note there. But speaking of the RV trip, we see Evan and Sophie still together. How do we feel about that?
I thought that scene in particular was very like, perfect for like that age of where he's like giving her a necklace, and it was like corny and but like I know earnest. I thought that was a good scene. I thought that was funny. But yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised that they're together because we had talked about this, like maybe they like broke up over the summer or whatever. But I mean, I'll take the over on number of times they break up this season.
Yeah,
over 0.5.
I like it. I think it again kind of opens the door for like for Nick to like, hey, he wants a relationship, things like that. I know this fast forwards, but like Lauren says, oh, my boyfriend. So are we assuming that her and Sam are an item or they will be eventually?
No.
Maya, you mean?
Or Maya, yeah. I keep mixing them up. Obviously not Lauren anymore.
I think Maya was talking about some random at the camp.
That's what I thought at first, but I'm just I thought her and Sam might be like an item by the end of it. Or
I did think that was a particularly funny moment too, when she's like, "Yeah, I already have a boyfriend or whatever." Like that was good. That was very par for the course. Yeah.
I wonder which one of the 21-year-old doubles they have as her boyfriend, because those like campers looked enormous.
Yes,
that AJ Lawrence is a big dude.
Yes, Let's talk about him. What did you make? What was your first impressions of AJ Lawrence?
Quick, I did like the scene where he meets Coop.
Yes.
I wrote down in my notes, Coop gonna become a workout warrior? ?
Ooh.
Because I think that would be an interesting like plot point. But the other thing, this came a little bit later during the icebreaker, but I wrote that he has shades of Dwayne plus Portman.
Interesting. Mm.
I would love to have like AJ and Coop like being like friends somehow, and like Coop just being like a total nerd, and AJ being like, come on, Coop, we're going to go out, you know, that kind of thing. Charging him $10 for the autograph and then him paying for it. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I wrote down that was funny as well.
But yeah, I wonder if they're setting him up to be the heel, you know, basically.
Heel turn maybe at some point.
Potentially, like basically he's, you know, the top camper is essentially right. What he's going to be.
Yeah. I think he's a very, it certainly seems like he'll be the villain. He's kind of got like, they're playing him up as like the douchey guy and whatnot. But
do you think we get like a Gunnar Stahl moment where he like shows some softness at the end? I think we will.
Yeah. I mean, we are yet to meet his brother, who we know is in this season, Fries, and the other girl too. We're yet to meet her, which I thought was interesting, where, you know, the season one, basically all our campers, the entire team we met in episode one outside of the checkmate. So interesting that we'll, you know, develop a little more there. Quick note on that first scene with AJ and Coop, I did like Coop's line. I'm good, actually. I did mine on the bus when he was doing the pull-ups. And Coop, I thought, really more development than he had really had all season one. He was funny. He had a lot of lines. I liked this out of Coop.
You got some crying from him?
Yeah. Yeah, it was well done.
I think they leaned into his kind of his acting, the actors, his ability a lot more in this, because he was, you know, supposed to be like the shy guy in season one, and Coop is like the actor, isn't he like a really good singer?
Yes.
So you got to assume he's like naturally kind of pretty charismatic. And so I like the idea of Coop having that bigger part in, you know, they kind of did it right off the bat. We didn't see a ton from Sam. Like they gave him the like stealing the soda thing. A good line, you know, I was going to put this back in there.
I thought that was a really good line. Yeah.
But yeah, I did think we got like a good amount from every single one of them. And having only six ducks, you're allowed to do that. But, you know, they're introducing, you know, Cole's son, who's not any good. And we know that there's a character named Fries. And there was like a mention of Fries, like in one of his speeches, right?
Well, I mean, they talk about like curly fries or something.
He says, do you smell beer? Do you smell fries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have obviously Cole's son, we have AJ Lawrence, we have a couple more. To your point, six ducks, we can probably feature them a little more. No mention of Lauren and Logan. I don't think that's coming.
I was bummed about that. Like, I figured we'd at least get a throwaway line, or I guess this might be kind of confirmed already, but like I guess they're not coming back at all this season. Like, they're not just gonna show up at some point, but or maybe we get a FaceTime or something. But I thought that was a little weird. And like, why aren't they there? It wouldn't make any sense for them to be there. You know, I don't know. I just thought that was weird.
Yeah, I think a FaceTime would be good just to close the loop on it. Lauren stayed because she had, you know, fantasy camp or something, and Logan
had doing to move whatever. Back to Canada or something.
Right, yeah, something like that. I will say, great call from Cats Fan in Ohio in the Discord, who predicted before this happened that the plot that they invited the old ducks and they were expecting the old ducks to come and they got these ducks by mistake. He like nailed that. So duck call to him. But this does beg the question, which is, I'm cheating a little bit because I'm reading the comments in the Discord before we post this. Wouldn't Evan and Sophie know what this camp is all about? Shouldn't they have been at this camp before because they were on the ducks?
Well, it might just be for a specific age group, though.
Okay. I can accept that.
Because the year when they were Ducks, they would have been under 12, right? They
right.
In that league. So maybe that's what that, maybe that's the explanation for that. The easy one.
Okay.
I do think it was weird, like, talking about that, how he like is like dissing them for showing up as a team, even though like they had invited the other Ducks as a team too. You know? I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
But I did think that was funny though. I mean, he's like, some people came as a team. Quack, quack. That was a good line.
Yeah. So obviously, I thought Alex had a good speech to the Kid Ducks there, and then, you know, goes and saves them at the camp.
Quick. Can we talk about that moment?
Sure.
For a little bit. I already love the assistant. She's. Oh. I feel like she's going to be a lot of fun. I hope she gets a ton more moments. Everything she said was hilarious. I love the. I crossed all my T's, but forgot to dot the I's or something like that. Yeah. And then she said, I'll get you some beverages. Sometimes it makes the trip go quicker. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, too. The return trip is often feels faster.
Yeah.
She seems like she's going to be a really good comedic relief.
Yeah. And then obviously we have the icebreaker. Was a little disappointed in the hockey there with, you know, them just slamming the puck into the board. Like if they knew they couldn't lift it, you would figure that.
Yeah.
But
I do love, like, I want to play that game though.
Yes.
Like,
I thought that was a good concept. Awesome.
Yeah. Did you ever do anything like that?
We used to do, it was like one-on-one full ice hockey. So you would play against one other person, but there would be five games going on at the same time. So there was like five pucks around, but you would have your one puck and playing against it. That's like the closest we've done. It's super tiring. But
yeah. I know, like, when I would go to soccer camp as a kid, we would do, like, if there are like 30 teams or like 15 teams of two, where it's like, hey, your team has to score and the last team to score is like knocked out or whatever, and then you keep playing or whatever. Those kinds of drills are always very fun.
Yeah, I thought the concept of the game itself was fun, but I was a little disappointed with how the Ducks scored.
Yeah. So
specifically, can we talk about some of the scores?
Sure.
Some of their scores.
Sure.
I Nick's pizza score, legal? Question mark.
I mean, you can't pick up the puck. Oven. You can't pick up the puck and put it on your stick, but yeah, just shoving it into the net is fine.
I did kind of like the like confused approval from Josh Duhamel, where he's like, all right,
whatever, yeah,
I guess that works. And then Sam's score, right?
It was off his
headbutt. Headbutt.
That is, I believe that's illegal. That's happened before. You can't purposely headbutt it into the net.
Gotcha.
But, you know, if it goes off your helmet or something, that counts.
I did also appreciate Sophie being a leader in that scenario.
Yeah.
Her teammate the score. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, Evan was all about himself there, so he's going to fit right in. yep. But yeah, Sophie, and I wonder if it is going to be like a Evan hangout with Lawrence kid, whatever. Is it AJ Lawrence? Is that his name?
Yes, AJ Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay. They need to like have his dad played by one of the Lawrence brothers, by the way. but yeah, I like that, and it was interesting. You know, they kind of like, oh, we're scrappy, and this isn't a camp for scrappy, and that's what they showed. And like, coach was like, all right, you know, they're scrappy.
Yeah.
I thought they you can kind of already see that they're setting up Evan for another kind of heel turn moment where he kind of distances himself from the Ducks or something like that, kind of like in season one when he goes and practices with the Ducks. But I thought that was really good. Sophie trying to get everybody make sure that her teammates are accounted for. One thing I just turned away for a second and I missed it. Did Coop score?
Yes, Coop gets tripped, and then somebody's shooting the puck, and it bounces off his stick and goes into the thing.
Got it. Okay, I think I just missed that. I did like the like show off between Nick and what's his son's name?
I don't remember his first name. Okay. I don't think they ever introduced his first name yet.
I haven't written down as Young Cole.
fair enough.
I liked that little show off. Where they're just like staring at each other, and then like Nick's like super delayed reaction to go get the rebound. That was good.
Yeah, That was funny. Evan with a bit of a pancake shot. I thought maybe there was going to be a mention there. Like, thanks, Logan.
Yeah, or I have in my notes, I said pancake shot plus the nice recovery from the ground from Evan was good. And then in all caps, I have, where the fuck is Logan?
Yeah, and so then...
Still upset about this.
Yes, and then we have sort of, I don't know, maybe the climax of the episode where they have the big speech, the dueling speeches, I should say, between Evan and Nick. I kind of felt like Nick's speech was better.
Nick's speech was funnier.
I felt like he made a good point. Like, Evan, Brady was like, oh, we always crash the party. And then Nick's like, yeah, you don't want to crash the party. And then Brady's just kind of like, come on, guys. And everyone's like, all right, I'm with
you. No, Evans was heartfelt. And he, you know, he was basically telling his teammates how much he loved them and he wanted them to be there. I thought that was good.
Okay.
One thing I did have in my notes on that is I don't buy that Sophie wouldn't have been gung-ho for that camp.
Right.
Like, I don't buy that she would want to go home.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, we've talked about her being a leader. Like, maybe she was like kind of feeling the room is like, I'm going to go with whatever my team wants to do. But yeah. Yeah, you would figure she was such a do-gooder early on in season one, you would figure she would want to be here and, you know, increase her scholarship potential and all that kind of stuff. So that's a good point. But yeah.
I also, in that scene, I think they planted the seed with young Cole that he'll eventually, quote unquote, join the Ducks or whatever when he walks in the background and then kind of gives Nick that parting advice or whatever. But I think that was a very obvious kind of foreshadowing of what's to come for that.
Yes, young Cole's first name is Jace, by the way. Jace.
I'm wondering if like Alex is gonna kind of have like a moment with Jace or something where she's like, hey, it's not all about whatever, and she's like, hey, I'll talk to your dad for you, something like that.
Yes. Are we gonna get his mom at some point, or is there gonna be like a reverse Evans situation where the mom shows up and trying to take him away from the camp or something like that? Who knows? But yeah, I thought the speeches were good. Like I said, I thought Nick sort of was better and was kind of winning the room. And then Brady, you know, or I should say Evan, talking to these people gets the characters in the real life mixed up. But yeah, I thought his closing was good, but I think Nick made better points. But they all stayed, and obviously they go on. Anything else we want to talk about? Obviously, they got a good quack in there, which I appreciated. Anything else we want to talk about before we go to MVP and LVP and our quote of the episode?
Do we want to talk at all about where we think episode 2 is going to go?
Sure. We can do that.
I think that we're going to learn more about the Cole family dynamic in episode 2.
Mm. Interesting.
I don't know. It kind of feels a little early for that, maybe, but I don't know. Especially because he's like, you know, basically I think we're going to get the Captain Blood episode season 2, where it's like they like start to truly despise Cole, Coach Cole.
Episode 2 is called Out of Bounds.
I think that's trending in Kevin's direction there. But yeah, I do think we see a lot of Jace in episode 2, and he sort of ingratiates himself either with Nick or the rest of the Ducks here. So let's take a short break and we will be right back with the MVP and the LVP and our quote of the episode.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
We are back. It's time to get to the awards at hand. I think overall, we gave out overall season awards in season 1. We also gave out individual awards for every episode with an MVP and LVP and a quote. I believe Nick got the most MVPs, but I would have to go back and check in terms of the individual episodes. Kevin, your MVP of the episode.
I think hands down it's Josh Duhamel. I think he really kind of set the tone for what the season's going to be like. And I think also mostly because it was most important for that to kind of give us a greater expectations and hope for this season. So I think he kind of ran away with the MVP for me.
Wow.
Tommy. Or skated away, if you will.
Oh, nice. Tommy, your MVP.
And so I'm actually going to give it to Luke Islam as Coob, although I think Duhamel was really good. And my reasoning is I thought that I'm probably judging it based on season one, but I think that he really was elevated in this one. And he kind of offers something a little bit more. And it's not just like looking to Nick for that comic relief or whatever, or like the strong one-liners. So I'm going to give it to Coob as my MVP. I thought that he was great in every scene. I thought the acting was good.
Yes. I also gave it to Coob. Coob with the surprise MVP award. I thought it was just added an extra dynamic that I was not expecting. Like, I knew Josh Duhamel and Colin Cole. Like, I knew they were going to sort of carry it. I knew Alex was going to sort of have her moments. I was not expecting Coob to be as good as he was, as funny as he was, and sort of to drive things the way he did. So I gave it to Coob. So congratulations, Coob, with the go ahead, Kevin.
I was just gonna say honorable mention to the assistant because she also was really good. Yes, but she was just brief.
Yes, just not enough for her, at least not yet. But keep an eye on her for the future. Let's move on now to, well, I should say congratulations to Coob. I believe that's his first MVP award, so congratulations to least valuable player. I'm gonna give it to Maya. Not necessarily for her, you know, acting. Like, the boyfriend comment was funny, and like, she, I thought she was okay there, but the hockey scenes, like, she couldn't lift the puck. She was just struggling there, and she wasn't bad in season one. I thought she was actually one of the best. You take out Evan and Sophie, I thought she was one of the better Don't Bothers, and all of a sudden she can't even put the puck in the giant hole in the middle of the net. So disappointed in Maya's off-season training, I guess she wasn't doing much there, so I'll give it to Maya. But we'll go to Tommy next. LVP.
So this is a little bit of a cop-out, but I'm gonna give it to Alex specifically for all the RV scenes, and basically first 2 minutes, 3 minutes of Alex is the LVP. I couldn't get into it, and like, I was thinking to myself, and you know, I thought this episode was very good, but like, man, after that first minute, I was like, if I was just watching this for the first time, I might be turning this off. Because I really didn't like anything in the RV. And no, I'm wondering if there was just like, hey, we had to kind of shoot it weirdly, and there was some like weird shit that didn't work out with how we were going to set this up. It felt
crammed together.
Yes. Yeah. Literally cramped. yeah. I'm going to give it to Alex for the first 3 minutes. I did think she was solid for the rest of the episode, but man, I really hated that RV. I'm never going to get an RV again.
That's funny. I will say, just real quick, I did think Alex was less like Lorelai Gilmore-y in this episode from like season one. I felt like she was very similar to her other character, where this one it felt maybe more like a separate character, but maybe that's just because spent so much time with this character now that I'm not thinking of anybody else. But Kevin, your least valuable player.
It's interesting. I didn't feel the same way about Coob as you guys did. I like, maybe I just need to watch the episode again and wasn't paying close enough attention or something, but I had him as a potential LVP.
I like it.
But I think I'm going to go with Maya as well, because she didn't do much in the way of, she didn't have all that many lines, and she obviously, the hockey was non-existent for her.
I would argue that Sam was more of an LVP than Maya, in terms of like, because the only thing he did was he was like trying to steal a soda.
But that was a really good line. I don't feel like Maya had any like I don't remember anything she said.
Well, you guys talked about the boyfriend thing, so.
Right. I mean, that was a good, yeah. That's more of a plot vehicle, but yeah. I think I'll go with Maya. But I'm not as high on Coob on the episode as you guys are, but
okay. We can disagree,
I'm
Kevin.
I'm glad we got to see more Coob, though.
Yes.
I will say that.
We're allowed to disagree. That's fine. All right. Let's move on. Quote of the episode. I sort of cheated with mine. I already said it, but Kevin, you feel like you want to go first. Your quote of the episode.
It was close, but I think my favorite was when Josh Duhamel calls them unintended ducks. I think that was my favorite quote. I thought that was like a really just like funny kind of delivery when he said that. So I think I'm going to go with unintended ducks, with a close second being the drinks for the road one. And then I was actually trying to put something in the machine from Sam.
Nice. Mine was from Coob, where, you know, AJ was doing the pull-ups and he said, "I'm good, actually. I did mine on the bus." That really got me for some reason. That was funny. So, Tommy, your quote of the episode.
I agree with Mike. That was my quote of the episode, but I also liked Sam's. I was actually putting something in there. I didn't think the delivery was that great, though. Maybe that's why I'm harping on Sam a little bit this episode.
And I also want disclaimer. I think I missed the part where he said I did mine on the bus. I must have been distracted during that scene or something. So maybe that's kind of clouding my judgment of Coop, because that's a really good line. I like that.
Fair enough. There you go. Episode one. We'll be back with episode two. Still working on those screeners. So maybe we'll get them before episode two, and this will come out right as the episode drops. But until then, you know where to find us, thequacktech.com. Go there, contact us at quacktechpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quacktechpod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars, give us your review of episode one, and hit up the Discord. A lot of discussion in the Discord today, as you can imagine. It's all marked with spoilers for the first 2 days, so feel free to join now, and then you don't have to look at the spoilers until you're ready to look at them. So there you go. Thank you to all our producers. Uche, still the most recent producer. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Bye.
Ain't no turning back. Start to be the man is up on the crack of time.
The Quack Attack is back, Jack. Oh, yeah.